This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
Three Man Front.
11 o'clock. Three Man Front, Jocks 94.5. Keeping you updated on the Board of Regents meeting there in Norman, Oklahoma. Texas concluded theirs in 41 minutes. They're coming to the SEC. Oklahoma, it already passed, but they're doing other things. Right now, they were showering praise over Oklahoma State and going out of their way to try to maybe quell some of the unrest that is. It actually has turned into bedlam there in that state, and talking to a couple of people, Curtis Fitzpatrick being one of those from our sister station at WWLS in Oklahoma City, who said it is truly like divided the state, and it is nasty right now. And the president there at OU going out of his way to try to include Oklahoma State now in every statement that he is making. And one of the things that he just came out with a few minutes ago, he said that Oklahoma has four priorities. OU remains a nationally relevant athletics program is number one. Keeping the athletics budget fully funded without tuition fees is two. Being in the same athletic conference as Oklahoma State is three. Playing Texas and Dallas every year is number four. And then goes on to say, well, we couldn't do all of it.
He's also making a point that they want Bedlam to continue. They want Bedlam to continue, and they want to play Oklahoma State in every sport. They want to continue with this rivalry between the Cowboys and the Sooners.
Our friends at Pat's Archery and Outdoors, they're going to keep you geared up for summer. You got to check out their new rod and reel combos, fishing gear, Costa Del Mar glasses, performance fishing shirts, and more on Highway 78 in Jasper, Pat's Archery and Outdoors. Also, your personal protection specialist with handguns, rifles, shotguns, plus ammo arriving daily. 12 months, same as cash financing. Pat's Archery and Outdoors, Highway 78 in Jasper. We just hung out with Barrett Salee last week at SEC Media Day. So much has changed between then and now. And he joins us here on Three Man Front, Jocks 94.5 on the Michelob Ultra Hotline. Barrett, how are you? Hope you're doing well.
I'm good. I've been listening to the Oklahoma Board of Regents list off every single possible reason why they don't want to be in the Big 12. I'm a little my brain's a little fried at this point, but yeah, it's been a wild week.
Couldn't somebody, if somebody knows Robert's Rules of Order, I remember it back in my college days being in a fraternity and you know, being on some boards. Can't you just call it a previous and call for a vote, like immediately, like interrupt the president and just raise your hand and say, hey,
I think you can. Why wouldn't you?
I mean, at this juncture, 2 hours and 3 minutes into a meeting, just say, hey, folks.
This one dude's been talking for 30 minutes straight.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Don't you know there's that one member who's like, crap, I should not have scheduled.
So now the AD is talking. Is that right, John? Now?
Yeah.
The AD's talking.
Joe Casiglione?
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, he's following in the president's footsteps.
Okay. Good. All right, super.
All right, go ahead, Barrett. We want to interrupt you again.
We'll update everyone on Monday what comes out of this meeting, because that's going to go on
when they're done.
Please continue, Barrett.
Oh, man. Well, no, it's been a wild week, and it's all kind of culminating right now, at least from the SEC's perspective. I'm really interested to see what the Big 12 does.
Barrett, I find it interesting. Let's go to Big 12 Commissioner Bob Bowlesby. He's well-respected. I think maybe some of that is fading nationally now. It's coming out, and you can understand his frustration with losing his two prized possessions of that conference, for lack of a better word. They drive the needle. They move the needle. But to go and to take swings at ESPN, and some of the things he's saying, I don't know how Bob Bowlesby expects these things to be got with the conversations that the SEC, Texas, and Oklahoma apparently have been in the works for, what, 5 months, 6 months. How else are you supposed to do this? How are you supposed to do this when you're in those talks? Because, number one, I'm sure Greg Sankey in the SEC said, hey, let's keep this between us, because a lot of the other SEC schools didn't know that this was going to happen. This came as a surprise to them as well.
It's interesting. Bob Bowlesby, I think, has to do this. And I think we all know what ESPN's reasoning would be to end the Big 12 permanently, because if there's no Big 12 to pay, then Texas and Oklahoma don't have to pay to leave. And so you could do it sooner. But so basically he's going out guns a-blazing because I think he realizes that whether the Big 12 stays in existence or not, the impact that he's going to have in the college football world is next to zero at this point because the Big 12 really not going to be a Power 5 conference anymore. In fact, if the AAC grabs some of those teams, it'll be significantly better than the Big 12. So I think Bob Bowlesby is just kind of going out guns a-blazing with nothing to lose because he really doesn't have anything to lose. I mean, I think right now he could lose his job, but, I mean, I think everybody knows that that's a possibility and perhaps even a probability at this point. So it is wild to see what happened. I would love to know what happens in September when the college football playoff working group meets and Bob Bowlesby and Greg Sankey are in the same room as members of that four-person working group. That will be quite interesting.
Be a little frosty, I would assume, I would think.
A little bit.
Yeah, just a tad. Talking about what's going on in Norman, Oklahoma right now, the Oklahoma AD just said last week's timing was not of our choosing. He said that he would have preferred to communicate with everyone before it went public. So, Barrett, I ask you this question. If it had not gone public by the Houston Chronicle, and we're sitting here this previous Monday, would that have been the bombshell? That basically, would they have given him like a 10-minute heads up and the Oklahoma and the Texas AD, they would have called all their brethren in the Big 12 and said, hey, by the way, there's going to be a statement coming out in about 20 minutes. We're gone. We want to leave. Is that what he's talking about? I mean, how do you go about that if it did not come out like it did at SEC Media Days?
You have to do it quickly. Otherwise, everybody's going to leak the information and you want to control the narrative. So, that would pretty much be my assumption on how that ideally would go down from Texas and Oklahoma's perspective. Obviously it didn't happen, but you can't let that news linger. If you've been in secret talks for so long, you can't let that news linger from, you know, with your fellow constituents in the Big 12, because that news will get out and you don't want the narrative to get lost. So I would imagine that's how it went down. And I think we talked about this yesterday. You know, I think there's this idea that Texas A&M released the info and in an attempt to kill the deal. I don't necessarily think it's Texas A&M. I think it's just a couple of high-powered boosters that were not happy with this, because the sense that I get, and I talked to Ross Bjork about this on Sunday, is that they knew it was happening. They obviously, you know, weren't thrilled with the idea, but they're going to be thrilled with the balance sheet after all this said and done. But Ross was more frustrated and had that reaction because they had like literally discussed no specifics. Like it wasn't like timeline, financial implications, scheduling agreements, divisions. Like there were a whole bunch of things that were yet to be discussed. And I think that's why, that's why Texas A&M, like the official administration, reacted the way it did. And, probably why it was leaked at that time, because the small group of people who didn't like it and didn't want to do this, realized that time was not necessarily running out, but you needed to kill it before it gained, you know, a whole lot of traction.
Barrett Salee, CBSSports.com, at Barrett Salee on Twitter, joining us here on Three Man Front on the Michelob Ultra Hotline. Barrett, for folks that think maybe this is it, and I keep hearing the, you know, four conferences, 16 teams each, why do we limit it there? Because I know that you shared a thought that you thought that the eight teams from the Big 12, they just go ahead and merge and add to the Pac-12, and you have a 20-team super conference, if you will. But in the SEC's case, who are maybe a couple of other schools right now that possibly the powers that be, the representatives from those particular universities, would be interested in having talks with the Southeastern Conference? And did Bob Bowlesby's comments and making all of this so public possibly slow some of that momentum down with those other schools?
I don't necessarily think it slowed down the momentum. You know, if they were to go beyond 16, you know, I think there's this idea, I'll go get Florida State and Clemson. I mean, they're going to make a ton of money anyway. And I just think as long as you're stable wherever you are, you're probably not going to leave. In most cases. So I would say the SEC would go after a UCF or a Houston or whatever. And I threw this out on my show this morning. It's not like Nebraska's thrilled with the Big Ten. You know, so if there are Power Five schools out there and Nebraska's looking around going, well, we don't really like this conference. We don't really fit in. We're frustrated with game times. And we can make more money in the SEC. Would the SEC be that crazy to at least kick those tires? Because I don't think it would be. So there's that element. And then Virginia Tech, NC State, schools like that. But I think they'll stay in the ACC too.
Okay, and that's your opinion. That's fine. But, I mean, this is why these discussions are so much fun. See, I totally disagree. You going and getting Oklahoma and Texas, that's a boss move by the SEC. And the perception now, it only adds to what previously people thought about the conference. I think if you're the SEC, you can pick and choose. I'm not saying you could go and get Ohio State, but for a school like Clemson or Florida State, you could go and get those schools. North Carolina was actually thrown out, interestingly enough, by former ESPN president John Skipper. I don't think that was by happenstance. So no disrespect to, you know, you threw out UCF or Houston or Nebraska, but I don't think the SEC needs that. Are we talking about television sets? Or are we talking about having the best overall college football athletic programs in the country representing your conference?
Well, no, I don't think the SEC needs that either. I think that would be, if there is more beyond where we are right now, then you have to sort of take a step back and say, okay, what's relevant? What is, you know, where are the markets we want to be in? Where's the passion the greatest and all that stuff? And so, yeah, ideally, I think we're done. Like, I think it's 16. But there has to be a bunch of contingency plans out there, and I just don't see if there are teams that are attainable like Clemson and Florida State. Yeah, the SEC would be great to have those. That would be awesome. But if you're those schools and you're making close to the same amount of money, or at least in the ballpark, and your conference adds a few teams to make your TV deal more attractive, and you have an easier path to the playoff, it's a lot to factor in. So, no, I mean, it's the beauty of these things. Like you said, there are a bunch of different ways to dissect it. There are a bunch of different ways that it could go. And yeah, I mean, I would imagine the SEC has contingency plans for everything at this point.
All right, let's go to the Pac-12. If you're the new commissioner of the Pac-12, what's your move on the chessboard?
I'm adding four teams immediately. Like, I am, whether that be old Big 12 teams, whether that's, you know, BYU or Boise State or whatever, I am finding the four best teams right this very end. Because you don't want the AAC getting their pick of the litter out of the Big 12 teams. And I think there are plenty of options that would be attractive. I think the Pac-12 could definitely use Oklahoma State. I think that one or two of the Texas schools would be attractive. I think BYU, if anybody can get them off of their no games on Sunday deal, and then obviously it doesn't matter for football, but, you know, if any conference can get them off of that with the other sports, then BYU is an attractive piece. So, you know, if I'm the Pac-12, I'm fielding all calls and trying to get people to beg for invitations. And I think the Pac-12 can do that. And, you know, listening to George Klebakov earlier this week, it sounds like he is absolutely on board with expanding significantly if the right opportunities present themselves. And I think there'll be plenty of opportunities.
All right, Barrett, so the foreseeable future, where do we see this going? I mean, it's your guess is as good as it is anyone on, and officially they're saying all the right things. It's July 1st, 2025. How do you see this shaking out? When do we see the patches on those respective jerseys in Austin, Texas, and Norman, Oklahoma?
I will say 2022. I think it's going to happen next season. I think that initially I was 2023, but the more I think about it, the more ESPN's trying to destroy the Big 12. It just feels like it's going to get poached quickly. And at that point, if there's no Big 12 to pay, then Texas and Oklahoma are free. So I would say 2022.
All right, Barrett, today would have been a big day for both you and Landrum and myself if we weren't covering this. It's Major League Baseball trade deadline coming up at 3:00 Central. Mm-hmm. And Landrum and I were joking in the office beforehand. Which team will do the least? Will it be the Cardinals or the Braves? Because we kind of got a little running bet here that neither one will do a single thing today.
I think the Braves will do something significant. Probably not, but I think the Braves are on board. Now that when they won 3 of 5 from the Mets last week and they're only 4 back, I think that gave them enough to say, all right, look, we're good enough to hang. Let's see if we can add some more pieces to do more than hang. So I think the Braves will add a couple pieces.
We'll go get a guy that was an all-star 18 years ago, and he's hitting 209 with his current club. That's who we'll get.
Correct. That would always work.
That's all. That's part of the goal.
I would say the Braves do more.
Well, you got rid of Inciarte yesterday, so that was a step in the right direction.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah, 3 years too late.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah. You got to watch
that.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, couldn't hit his way out of a wet paper sack. That is Barrett Salee, CBSSports.com, at Barrett Salee. Barrett, it was great to visit with you in person last week. Have a great weekend, and who knows? We could have no Big 12 by Monday. Everybody just bolt.
Nothing would surprise me at this point.
Yeah.
No, that's right. Barrett, we appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, y'all. See you.
All right, so just an update for what's going on. Everybody in the office, John, was extremely excited because it appeared that it was ready for the motion. So tell us what took place as the motion was presented.
So it was finally presented after the two, the president and the athletic director, spoke for the last 45 hours. It was finally brought up. Does anyone have any new business? And Regent Natalie Shirley said yes, given that we have an invitation, I would like to motion that we accept the offer. And does someone second it? Yes. And then they always say, is there any discussion on it? And then there was silence. And then Regent Stevenson leans forward in his chair and goes, I would like to say something.
Ah.
And it's 2:59 on a Friday, right before you're about to be gone for a full week of school, and Regent Stevenson just raised his hand and says, teacher, you forgot to give us homework.
Yeah, that's it. Or a sales meeting. Let me put it in the business world. You're a sales meeting, and you've been in some kind of sales conference or training for 3 hours on a Friday, and it's pushing 5 o'clock, and you have that one person. It's like, any more questions? Everybody's looking around going, don't ask a question.
Here.
Yeah,
it
I don't
wait.
Understand the, yeah. Oh. The exact way for you want us to install these. And
even the guy giving the presentation is like, golly, that was really.
So is Stevenson still talking right now?
Yes.
Can we hear a second?
The board is focused on the students across the university, across the state of Oklahoma.
Of course you are.
You don't understand what we're spending our
and
days and
I sent you
our
a picture of the two regents next to him, how happy they are.
And then
speaking.
Anticipating the future and building out OU online. Just really next level leadership, whether it's a Fortune 500 company or any major university.
Gosh.
This leadership team has its head on straight.
We're getting
focused
here.
On the most important things and is leading
that
at
other
incredibly
guy's like
high level.
Texting his buddies, his golf group.
But it didn't
I'll meet you on number
with,
three.
President
yeah.
Harris, I want to also thank the work of
make sure
President
the beer
Gallagher
cart girl is
lay
what
this
you,
foundation
I,
that we're
this
working
is never
on.
Going to end.
Also, the previous Board of Regents and the great work that they've done and our previous chairman, Chairman Pearson, got us off to
just
a great start.
On
which,
it. Jeez, that's terrible. Barrett Salee and all of our guests join us on the Michelob Ultra Hotline.
Do you think we'll have an answer when we come back?
With low calories, low carbs, and zero fat, live life to the ultra. I don't know. I mean, who knows? There could be, somebody in maintenance that wants to come in and talk
somebody
about
just happens to be in the building.
The facilities and what an honor
hey,
it is.
Hey, anybody else want to step to the mic? This is like city council
compliment.
Tuesday night. Come
now,
open mic night.
I will be fair. Judging by, now this may be me stereotyping, but looking at the rest of the Board of Regents, he looks to be rather young. So he may be one of those, hey, I'm actually kind of glad to be here. And like, if you're giving me an opportunity to speak,
move.
I'm
this
going
is
to,
all yeah. I had planned today. I'm going to talk.
It's a
oh, nobody
move.
Else? Okay.
He went and got him a new suit. Said, this is going to be big. We're going to have about 400 people watching online.
Maybe we'll have a conclusion to this Board of Regents meeting in Oklahoma. In the meantime, we can, I don't know, Pat, you can do like 17 questions.
Pat ponders. Crap.
Now is somebody else talking now?
Well, he thanked the president, and the president now is choosing to respond to that. So now we've got like 4 hours. So maybe this will conclude during the Matt McLaren show next week.
Yeah, I mean Matt's going to.
Wait.
Hold on.
Moment of silence.
And a good example was the pandemic. I mean, that is thousands of people working, 15-hour days to make it possible. So I receive those with gratitude.
That's the president.
But we all know where that truly.
So we're close.
So, yeah, I think. Hold on.
Let's keep it right here.
So lest we forget why we're here.
Yes.
Thank you.
There is a motion and a second before us. Is there any other discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Welcome to the Southeastern Conference.
Yeah! History! That guy, you could tell, he was pissed.
For the meeting. Actually, it's welcome and at the end of June 30, 2025.
Right.
Right. Whoops.
No other business will be adjourned.
Let the cat out of the bag there. That's what we're supposed to say. How about that guy like, hey, all right, great, let's remember why we're here. Let's vote.
And they just got off the feed, just like that. I guess the video guy was ready to go.
That was a boss move by that.
Who was that
right
talking?
There. I don't know. I don't like him.
He was running the meeting. I don't know, but he God rest his soul. He looked like Pat.
And he said Southeastern Conference. He's going to fit in quite nicely. Pat Ponders, on your way next. Three Man Front, Jocks 94.5.
Three Man Front, weekdays.
Right here on Jocks.
Jocks 94.5.
So lest we forget why we're here, there is a motion and a second before us. Is there any other discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Welcome to the Southeastern Conference.
There you go.
Yeah. Board of Regents, finally wrapping it up. I was wondering if any of the other members sitting in that meeting listening to all of the that was going on, the way they were feeling the same way we were, and apparently they were. It was like, all right, that's enough.
Rolling your eyes. What are we doing?
Wait.
Let's get this over with.
Like, what? You guys remember why we're here? This was supposed to be 45 minutes tops. By the way, there in Austin, Texas, the Board of Regents at the University of Texas, theirs wrapped up in 41 minutes. Now, it was a Zoom call or virtual video, whatever. But
so do you think they only had the free version? So it only had to be 40 minutes?
Right.
We've got you blocked for 45 minutes. Can you get it in or it's going to cost you extra?
I love the him misspeaking, though, and, you know, basically then throwing, July 1st, 2025. Not now or immediately.
What
or
if he had, like, said 2022?
That'd be great. That'd have been awesome.
Oh, the lawyers are going to just think of the billable hours that's going to be happening now. You know, it's been a busy week for Disney lawyers. You know, first it was Bob Bowlesby sending them a cease and desist, and now Scarlett Johansson is suing Disney. So, I mean, this has been a busy week for the folks in the mouse.
Yeah, you think that what we got from Bert Magnus, the president at ESPN, you think he was advised on what to say, or do you think that he just said?
I promise you, he was advised. Well,
but this was the question that I asked Dan Lust in response to that cease and desist. If you're representing Bob Bowlesby in the Big 12, is it the first question like, okay, do you have documented proof that this has been going on? Where is your proof? Because then you start getting into defamation and all those other things, and ESPN is as big as the Big 12 thinks it is or was. That's a whole nother ball game right there. And don't you think that he probably checked around with everyone like, hey, can we? I'm double checking here. Did anyone have these kind of conversations or what they are alleging happen? I would think that he probably did.
This is going to make for a wonderful 30 for 30 or an SEC storied in about 10 years from now, because being able to go back and hopefully Bob Bowlesby will be willing to talk to somebody, because I would love to know right now, like, what is his plan? We know that they're trying to keep them in the conference so that they can get the money out of them, but what is the long-term prognosis and plan for the Big 12? If you're telling everybody, hey, stop talking to our schools because we don't want you to raid our conference, but you've only got 8 schools right now, and all indications are is that Kansas and West Virginia, they've been kicking the tires trying to see who would take them.
Iowa State, whatever, regardless of what Jamie Pollard says, they've been kicking the tires.
So I just don't understand what Bowlesby's ultimate plan is.
He's stalling. Pat, I think he's stalling. He doesn't know.
But like Barrett Salee said about the Pac-12, why wouldn't Bowlesby, I know it'd be hypocritical based on the fact that he's telling everybody to stop talking to his schools, but go get a BYU. Not saying that BYU would take the offer now. Or would a Boise State take the offer? I mean, to me, the Pac-12 and the Big 12.
Why don't they merge? What if there's a merger in the works right now? Well, I mean, wouldn't that?
I just don't see the Pac-12.
Wouldn't that be, hey, stop talking to our school?
Do you really think
that
the Pac-12?
No, I can't. I mean, I can't.
Based on the Olympic sports that the Pac-12 has, I don't see Texas Tech and Iowa State and Kansas State, all these, they're not going to have a water.
No,
polo
but
team.
You don't have to. I mean, Vanderbilt doesn't have a softball team, Pat. You don't
I know
have
that,
to.
But they're going to require you to participate because of Title IX and things of that nature. Well, they're going to have to do certain things to live up to the Conference of Champions and their mantra.
Well, I at one time I would have agreed with you, but this is changing so rapidly, and it is an arms race to acquire what you can acquire because it's all driven by television dollars. 80% of revenue, right, is driven by college football.
That is correct.
And then basketball is going to make up a big part. Well, they play both of those. In the Big 12, they've had some, not just Kansas, but some really good basketball programs. Well, two of them just left. But you got Baylor, your reigning national champion, and others. What I'm saying is I don't know if you can't have your cake and eat it too. Went to the Oklahoma. There were four focuses on that they had going into this. One was Oklahoma State. You know, our the school that we share a state with, we've had good relationships with here recently, especially. We were on good terms. But ultimately, we have to look out for our own self-interest. I think the Pac-12 has to take a look at that. And he kind of backed away from his elitist statement that he made about we don't have to take any, you know, anyone, and we have a very high bar as far as entry into the Pac-12. I think reality is starting to set in. It's like, you know what, we grab as many teams or programs as we can that still have relevance. Otherwise, we're going to be left here in the dust. But maybe that's the Pac-12 and the Big Ten. They kind of, the ideology is very similar.
The one thing they have been talking about between those two conferences is some type of scheduling agreement to where maybe the non-conference opponents you would kind of mix and match with the Pac-12 and the Big Ten, having that type of scheduling agreement. So instead of maybe the Big Ten playing all the MAC schools, that seems to happen because they will not play an FCS school, that perhaps they would schedule Pac-12 teams.
During summer, your most expensive appliance is constantly being pushed to the extreme, and it's your HVAC system. It's not a question of if it will fail, but when. You got to turn to the brand recognized as the most trusted for 7 consecutive years, and it's Trane. A Trane system is going to keep you comfortable and give you peace of mind for summers to come, knowing you've got the industry's best. It's hard to stop a Trane. Pat has a Oklahoma Board of Regents version of Pat Ponder's 100 questions we will try to answer.
Wow.
Brought to you by Alabama Roofing Professionals.
Should set up later.
Alabama Roofing Professionals, 205-722-ROOF. That's the only number you need to know when it comes to the free roof inspections and an Alabama-based company that you can trust. Mike and the Game, they do a great job. They've been on my roof, Pat Smith's roof, Cole Kublik's roof. Let them come and get on your roof. No obligation, no fine print, no hidden fees. And also the blow-in insulation service. Alabama Roofing Professionals, 205-722-ROOF or alroofpros.com.
Question number one, it's been a rough week for Bob Bowlesby. So if you were to send him a care package to cheer him up, what would you send?
I would send him Dreamland Ribs from the great state of Alabama.
So
I would send him
rub his nose in it, huh?
Some of the best Tennessee whiskey I could find.
Okay.
I would... I don't know. What can we send him from the state of Georgia?
Peaches?
I would have something that was representative of every
just
state
kind of put in, a big gift
in the Southeastern Conference. Yes. That you could find. Something good from that state and put it in a big gift basket.
See, I mean, I wouldn't be mean and petty like that. I mean, we just kind of stepped on his heart with a hobnail boot. I mean, I'm not going to do something like that.
Snuggie?
No, I would probably find a gift card for LinkedIn Premium.
That's a good one.
Maybe a Netflix gift card too, because he's probably not going to be, you know, doing much, just sitting around.
He's probably not going to be watching many football games.
No. So yeah, I would do something because I know he's about to be, you know, kind of bored and sending home for the next little bit. So I'd do that.
Interesting. Bob Bowlesby, 69 years old, making $4 million a year, and his conference is being torn apart. Question number two.
Send him ESPN gear, like a bunch of merchandise.
Yeah. Who wins the SEC first, Texas or Oklahoma?
I'll say it's Oklahoma. Their program, the sustained success, is going to change now. We're going to hear from Joel Klatt what he had to say. And we know that he's never been shy about taking shots at the SEC. But the reality is it's a different level. Texas has not really sniffed the college football playoff. Oklahoma's been there. They're looking for their first win in that game, but this is going to boost their recruiting. I think they're in better shape right now. Lincoln Riley's a hell of a coach, and it's going to take Texas a little bit longer, so it's going to be Oklahoma.
To me, it really depends on how the divisions are – I can say divisions, but how the conference schedule is going to be set up. If they're having the pod system and having to face – certain teams every single year, as opposed to having the divisions and going through that, because Oklahoma seems like the easy answer, But Oklahoma also has a history of falling on their face in the regular season once or twice every now and then. But if it's the West with or without Alabama in there, I mean, that's a, you know, obviously a totally different discussion. But if Texas has to go through Oklahoma, A&M, LSU, both Mississippi schools, as opposed to getting Oklahoma, A&M, and Arkansas every single year, I could see if Sark gets this right, I could see them being the one. But I'm going to say Oklahoma because I do think they're the better team, at least set up for the foreseeable future. But if they get pods or divisions, that could change my answer.
Hey, if we're going historically, what if I just said neither one? If you'd asked that question in the early 90s when Arkansas and South Carolina joined the conference, I would have said Arkansas. If you had asked it, you know what,
Missouri
back in 2012,
or
Missouri or Texas A&M, I would have said Texas A&M. So is there a guarantee that either one of them gets a championship? I mean, it's hard enough for Texas to even compete in that game, much less win one.
No, I mean, we have schools that have been in the conference since its inception that haven't even gotten to it. Wow. So, no, there's no guarantee. But of the two, if you're saying which one is more likely to win first, I would say Oklahoma.
Okay. Question number three. Name an Olympic sport you're confident you could possibly medal in if you had a year to train.
Oh. Maybe rifling.
Okay.
Got a lot of training during the pandemic in the backyard.
With the chipmunks.
Air rifle. Yeah.
1 year to train, and you would automatically be qualified. Which sport do you think if we dropped you in after a year of training, you could medal?
Oh, they call it shooting. I'm sorry, not rifling.
That's very tough. Probably, I would say horse riding. Dressing, I think it is.
Dressage,
whatever, yeah. I think I'd go with that just because, honestly, I ain't got to be the one to train all that much. It's really the horse.
That's true.
Probably have to get a little more svelte. So
have you had experience on a horse?
I've ridden one like twice. Only fallen once. So
there you go, 50%. Yeah. That's wrong with that.
Man, it's been a minute since I've been on a horse. When's the last time you were on a horse?
It's probably been about 15, 20 years.
I think mine was summer camp.
Like when you're like 6 years old and you're on a pony or something?
I think the last time I was on a horse, it was Hargis. Camp Hargis out there, you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
And they had, I think that was it.
You didn't do that for your Dancing with the Stars to get into character?
that was not an actual horse. That was a human dressed up as a horse.
I know.
Oh,
that.
Okay.
I'm kidding.
Are you? All right.
All right.
I knew Gary looked weird.
Save a cowboy, ride a horse.
Question number four. You're at breakfast and you're starving. These three items are available for your consumption, but you can only choose one of these three. So which one are you taking? Waffles, French toast, or pancakes?
Oh.
Like these are in my kitchen and I have to make, or the best version of these are available at my disposal?
These are the best versions available at your disposal.
I'll go pancakes. I'll go pancakes with just a ton of butter. French toast, not too big on. And then the waffle, it's all right. Pancakes.
So you're going all in on pancakes.
Yeah, it breaks my heart, though. I can't have sausage with the pancakes.
How does it break your heart? I mean, you can... Oh, just in this scenario.
No, in just this scenario.
Oh, okay. Oh, I was like,
no.
It's
but you
America.
Can load
you
up
can
on pancakes, and you wouldn't have to eat for like 2 or 3 days.
That's true.
I guess technically you could do it with waffles and French toast.
Yeah, based on the guy that went to all the waffle houses,
mm-hmm.
Kind of clogged him up a little bit.
There's Greg McElroy right now on television.
I see that.
He's got a nice little sports room down there.
John?
Hey, Greg.
This is like the third time they've had to agree with Landrum. I don't like this, but
okay.
Pancakes. Given the two, I do think pancakes are in their best, their final form. Like if this was Dragon Ball Z, their highest form. Pancakes are better than waffles, and so I would go with pancakes.
What was your pancake mix growing up? Was it Hungry Jack, Martha White? What would you?
Hungry Jack.
Hungry Jack. Yeah, mm-hmm. That's what we had in the house. Some of them naturally add, though, the sugar to the batter, and I'm not a big fan of that. You got to find the ones that don't. But I'm not. I'm
adding sugar to it?
Yeah. Had a little bit of a sweet taste to it. Yeah, you look at the ingredients right there.
Is that what got you turned off of sugar and sweets?
No. It's,
somebody ruined your pancake
experience.
Actually,
I didn't choose that, and I've told you this repeatedly. I didn't choose that. It's just a weird thing as a kid. I don't know what happened.
But you drown it in syrup, like you said, right?
No, I don't drown it in syrup. Butter.
Oh, butter. Excuse me.
Just butter.
Butter.
Straight butter.
Okay. But sugar.
Not honey butter,
okay.
But butter.
Okay. Butter that's got sugar in it, if you look at the ingredients.
Butter?
Yeah.
You're not eating the Amish butter that I'm eating. They don't add sugar. They work twice as hard to make it, too.
All right, fifth and final question of the week. Who was your biggest childhood crush?
Jennifer Connelly. Still kind of is. Started with Labyrinth. Went to Career Opportunities.
Didn't she play in, was it Rocket Man? Was
yeah. That? Rocketeer.
Rocketeer, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Kind of, yeah, wasn't there. Didn't change things from, what's that movie? Requiem for a Dream. And, she's still got it.
Man, there's so many.
Okay, well, the answer to the question is one.
I know. I'm trying to give you my best
debate
answer
between
here.
Drew McClanahan was it, and
no,
Stone Getty.
No, that was...
Betty White.
Oh.
Was it... Debbie Gibson.
Or Tiffany.
See, she was
Tiffany.
One of them, but I don't think.
So Debbie Gibson was one of your crushes.
I don't know. And Kathy Ireland. She was.
Did you have the Kathy Ireland poster?
I'll tell you who else was. Goodness gracious! Now her name escapes me.
Now you're the president of Oklahoma right now. Just filibustering, throwing out all of them.
Oh, what was the girl from Weird Science?
Kelly LeBrock.
Kelly LeBrock. Ooh, maybe it was the accent. I don't know.
So which one would have been?
Kathy Ireland, man.
Kathy Ireland, number one.
Yep.
What about you, Pat?
Oh, I would have. I'm just going to guess for Pat.
We just asked him.
Lucille Ball.
He can
answer. What are you talking about? It was probably Ireland was up there.
Really?
Yeah.
Paula Abdul was up there for me, too.
When she first came on the scene, she was...
In Fuego.
But you really had Debbie Gibson, really?
Yeah, because I related. She was, like, I thought because of the age difference, not their...
There was a chance.
No, you know?
I understand.
At nine? That you might? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it's like you're doing the math, and you go, okay, she's 18, and I'm
right,
nine.
Right.
So when I'm 18, she's 27. Yeah. That'll work.
Yep. I had a lot of them, though. Oof.
Now, when you say a lot,
I'll tell
define
you,
a lot.
I tell you who I really liked, too, was Blair.
From Facts of Life?
Yeah, Blair. Not Natalie, but Blair.
No, I know. That's why I'm saying the show Facts of Life.
Yes. How's she doing now?
Heather Locklear was... Was one.
Oh, Alyssa Milano was definitely right up there.
Man, he's kind of got.
Who's the boss? Yeah, Blair Warner.
Why are you sitting down now?
Where is she?
I was standing earlier.
Oh, she changed. Lisa.
A lot of women tend to do that.
A lot of men do too.
So, what was her name? Blair from Facts of Life.
Her name was Lisa Welchel.
Do you have a poster of Lisa Welchel?
No, man. I had television. We actually got it. I just watched her every single day. Yeah, yeah. Hey.
Why is the pause not working on the remote control, Andrew?
We need new batteries. What is going on?
Why are you out of socks?
Ah, stop it.
All right, that's going to conclude this week's version of Pat Ponders.
Alabama Roofing Professionals, 205-722-ROOF, alroofpros.com. You're going to hear from Joel Klatt what he had to say about Oklahoma joining the SEC. Be careful what you wish for. That's next, Three Man Front, Jocks 94.5.
This is Three Man Front.
Three-man front on this Friday. Landrum Roberts, Pat Smith, John Saber. At the number three-man front on Twitter. We'll get to some very entertaining tweets. Always appreciate your interaction. At Landrum Roberts, at Pat Smith Radio, at John Saber. We have more news coming out of Norman, Oklahoma.
Well, it is now official, if you had any doubt, that Oklahoma and Texas are coming to the SEC. The SEC has released a press announcement saying that SEC has granted membership to Oklahoma and Texas starting in 2025. And Jerome Moorhead, who is the president of the University of Georgia, he is also current president of the SEC. He says both universities and prestigious academic institutions with strong athletics programs similar in tradition, culture, and success to our current member universities. We look forward to a productive and successful future together beginning in 2025, end quote. Again, 2025.
Well, and that can all change. How soon that happens, we don't know. We take you to the three-man front Twitter feed now. You can always interact, as I mentioned, at the number three-man front. Going to some questions that were asked during Pat Ponders. What would you send Commissioner Bob Bowlesby, who's had a
care package
2 weeks? Yeah, care package-wise. Charles A. Bodenheimer says, the Bob care package, Preparation H and Shinerbach. Very
good.
Nice.
That's good.
Very nice. Brent says, send Bob some So Longhorn cookies. Oh, very creative.
Mm-hmm.
Back to childhood crushes. Thomas Jones says Daisy Duke. Can't go wrong with Daisy Duke.
Can't disagree with that.
No. And any actress that has played the role of Daisy Duke has always...
Jessica Simpson played a very very nice role.
Very underrated as an actor.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Is she?
Yeah. I just thought...
Well, but what other roles has she done to warrant... Such.
You know that reality show with Nick Lachey?
Right, that with acting.
That was
okay,
great
right.
acting.
What was it called? Can't even remember. Okay.
Going back to, and can we play it one more time of how the Board of Regents at Oklahoma that went on forever, and finally, apparently, old guard, OG in the room had enough of all the you-know-what kissing that was going on, and this is how it ended.
So lest we forget why we're here, there is a motion and a second before us. Is there any other discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Welcome to the Southeastern Conference.
It should be noted, he's also the one that was leading the meeting, so maybe he's frustrated more so with himself.
Yeah.
To one
like,
of those.
Does
anybody need to say anything? I have. Dang it. I knew I should.
Yeah, let it get out of control. There is some reports coming out of Norman, and this is true. I'm not making this up, that they were taking the Board of Regents out individually with escorts to their car. So, and I was joking with the guys during the break, were they worried that Pistol Pete was going to show up in the parking lot in full regalia? You know, that weird looking mascot that Oklahoma State has?
Right.
With his pistols out.
Besides the LSU Tiger in that, those eyes, that is one of the creepiest mascots in college football.
That needs to be a Pat Ponders question.
Creepy mascots?
Yeah, which is the creepiest
mascot? Yeah,
the human-like
face. I need more of a cartoon-like face.
Yeah, he's not very kid-friendly. Maybe that was the look they were going for. I don't know.
Gator Smoke, in reaction to what we just heard, that audio, said that was boss move of the year. You went from that soft-smoking arse kisser to that deep-voiced John Wayne saying, unless we forget why we're here.
Lest we forget.
Tell that arse kisser, let's vote. I love it. Oh, man. I can't read that one. Golly. Daryl Stevens says, looks like Oklahoma is going to be the diva coming into the SEC.
Now, I've seen that a few times.
I don't know, though. I think they were just being thorough. From what I've heard, that Texas could
you
be
call
our,
that being thorough?
Well, they're dealing...
He also thinks Jessica Simpson's an underrated actress.
Look, Oklahoma is a much smaller state than the state of Texas. And those two schools have been separated now for 9 years, Texas A&M and Texas.
Could it be a situation that Texas is, since they can't win championships...
I think there is civil unrest in the state of Oklahoma. I think that's why they were going out of their way to praise...
No, this is what I think happened. I think Texas, because their football program has been back, about 20 times in the last 10 years, and they're yet to win a championship, that they're just so excited about being in the SEC. They wanted to get that meeting done, over with, voted. Yes, we're in. Let's go start the countdown clock. Meanwhile, Oklahoma, with six straight Big 12 championships, maybe Lincoln Riley had a couple guys in the room that said, hey, let's go into executive session and let's really talk about this a little bit, especially about where we're going to be. Are we going to be in the SEC West? Are we going to be in the pod with these guys? I mean, right. What are we doing here? Trying to get assurances that everything's going to be okay.
You shoot and then you aim. That's what we're seeing around college football. It's a race. It's a money grab. Mikey Walker, or Waker, you'll appreciate this, Greg. Thanks for listening. Middle school, me, had the biggest crush on Hillary Duff and Lizzie McGuire.
How about that?
Generational. All right. Keep it right here, Jocks 94.5.
Then like yours wasn't. Like yours wasn't generational.
No. To be fair, Betty White is timeless.
That is true.
Debbie Gibson, she's still very popular. Matt McLaren Show, it's next.
This is Three Man Front on Jocks 94.5.